many of you might be familiar with the Old Testament prophet Ezekiel. You ever hear him before? Anybody remember anything about Ezekiel? Anything at all? Remember anything that he saw? He saw some neat things. More than one that were pretty fantastic and strange. I heard over here he saw a wheel within a wheel. That's near the beginning of his visions that he saw. He did see that. And that's interesting. You can look at that, or we can look at that sometime. What else did he see?
Some old dry bones.
He saw some old dry bones. That was in Ezekiel 37, I think, right? He saw that valley of all dry bones, and then he spoke to the bones. What did he speak to the bones? The word of the Lord. That's what he spoke to the bones. And when old dry bones hear the word of the Lord, they don't stay dead anymore. But they get up. Like Lazarus, if you were here last week. They hear the word of the Lord and they get out of the grave. They stir and they shake and then they become a mighty army. Okay, that's good. What else did he see? He did see all that. A couple other things, but one I would call it a biggie. One big thing that he also saw that... What? Yeah, Min?
I thought he saw the glory depart out of the temple and then...
Ichabod.
Yeah.
The glory has
the
departed.
Glory, right. He had that vision. And also when the glory comes back.
Okay, and when the glory came back, it's a different story, I think, but... I thought you were raising your hand, you just...
I was thinking.
Oh, that's what you were doing. Okay, we know from now on when you do that, the wheels are turning. Anybody else? Yeah, okay. Let's go to the 47th chapter of Ezekiel.
Was he the one that saw the Lord high and lifted up?
That was Isaiah. Yeah, put the wheels back. Spin in the other direction. That was Isaiah, but that's good too. But Ezekiel 47, we're going to take a look there. I think it's in Ezekiel 47. He sees something else. He sees something. We've had this problem at camp. Well, I can't really call it a problem. This phenomenon, maybe I could call it that, this thing that's been going on at camp. It was going on third period, and I think it probably went on first and second. And I guess I would like to say that I wish it would go on for third or for fourth period, too. This is what he saw. What did he see? 47. Let's see if I can find it. It says that, he saw a vision at the entrance of the temple. The problem he saw was a leak. There was this leak. Now, when you get a leak, you call Brother Tom. It's very possible that he's out fixing a leak right now, because that's what Brother Tom does. But here was a leak. Now, this wasn't a plumbing water leak, I don't suppose. In his vision, this wasn't literal, obviously. This is something the Lord is showing him, and he sees that there's water that's coming out from underneath the altar in the temple. Now, I'm not going to read all the verses. I could. It just describes as to where it's coming and what direction it's going, and there are things that we can apply with all of that, but that would take way too long. Suffice to say that he sees some trickle of water that's starting to bubble out from in front of his altar. And it goes from a little bit of water that's flowing, and after a little while, that little bit of water in the temple, it's not going out of the temple, it's just staying inside, and it's beginning to pile up. Now, maybe you've seen that happen. I know Brother Gary and those of you that live in Rockaway saw it happen a few years ago. Water began to pile up. It started ankle deep. And when it's ankle deep, that's nice, but it's not nice, but it's not bad. It could be worse. And so Ezekiel's sensing the water is coming out from under the altar, and it's ankle deep, and then a little bit later he notices that it's knee deep. And then a little bit later he notices that the water is up to his waist. Now, again, we could stop and ankles, knees, waist, and it's all good. Suffice again to say tonight that inside the temple, the water is building up and accumulating. It's getting higher and higher. And all of a sudden, it says that there was so much water that he couldn't touch the bottom anymore. It was water to swim in. Water that would just kind of carry him. And so you got a lot of people, I guess, floating around in the temple, because the temple the temple is filled with water. And if you read on, you'll notice that that water is likened unto the glory of the Lord, the glory of God. The glory of God that came from under the altar, it just as soon could have come from heaven above, but it was the glory of God that was beginning to accumulate in that temple, and it rose and it rose and it rose until all of a sudden it just filled that temple, and you could actually just be carried around in that water. A life-giving stream is what the Bible calls it. Now, we can liken that temple to a lot of things. Could liken it to the cottage meeting hall. It would be wonderful if that place was filled with the glory of the Lord. Not just ankle deep, knee deep, waist, but just filled with the glory of the Lord. It would be wonderful if the meeting house in the village, same thing. Same thing. Now, that's what we pray for. That's what we've been praying for. Lord, ankles, knees, waist, but Lord, we want you to fill that place down there with the glory of God. Now, we, third period, have already been praying for fourth period. I hope you have been. I'm sure you have been. We've been praying that the Lord would continue his work, because third period, now we got a leftover or two from third period. I mean, boys, this poor boy wanted to go home today, and he got to the airplane and they said, you can't leave. It was all good, but he's going to go home tomorrow. Well, it wasn't all good, but tomorrow he's going to get to go. But down there, Jesse can tell you too, Santiago can tell you, and Brother Morgan can tell us, and some of you that were here third period, even in Watch Rock, there were times in this place when, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but it seems that the water was really accumulating, and that the glory of God was just kind of lifting us. And we were, again, not to make it peculiar, but we were just floating, just basking, just letting the Spirit of God move and work. Now, it wasn't always that way, perhaps. There were maybe times in meetings and maybe times in other people's lives where they felt it was more so than at other times, but whatever. But I rather think of the glory of God not filling the lodge or the meeting house. But Paul the Apostle, he says it twice in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians 6. He says, what? Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Don't you know that? And so what is it that the Lord wanted to do? What did he do here with Ezekiel? What did Ezekiel see was going to happen with the people of God? It would happen in Ezekiel's day. It was a prophecy about what God wanted to fulfill for the Israelites, for the children of God. But it went down way through the annals of history to our present day, because he still wants to fill you and me with his glory. Oh, well, ankles is nice. Fun to kick around in the water when you go in ankle deep. You go in Rockaway and you go on the beach and you go in the beginning of the summer or at the end of the spring. And the only place you're going is ankle deep. It's too cold out there to go in any deeper than that. But after a little while, maybe you warm up to the ankle deep idea and you get knee deep. And isn't it nice to be able to swim, to go out where the waves are and to, well, maybe it's nice, maybe it's not. Watch out for riptides. You better know how to swim before you go out there. But with the glory of God, you don't really got to watch out for riptides. It's all good. And he wants to fill you and fill you and fill you. He wants you to continually be filled with the Spirit of God, with the glory of God. That's my life when I leave. That's your life when you're here at camp. That's your life after you finish with camp and you go home. And it really doesn't matter where you go home. That's what God wants to do with you, for you. And so if you feel, well, I've stepped in, and it feels good. I mean, I've got it this far, and it's nice. It's so nice. I'll just stay here. And you know, you play, your toes play with the sand, and you dig them in, and that's great. But the Lord says, come on a little deeper into the water. I was in Puerto Rico one time, and I was in the water, and my Uncle Gordon Waldfogel came to visit. He was on vacation at the same time in Puerto Rico, and so he came in and he went into the water and all of a sudden, now he wasn't quite, he wasn't in his 90s yet. He was probably only in his 70s. But all of a sudden I looked and Uncle Gordon is way out there. Way, way, way out there. I mean, could hardly see him, but there he was. And he sees me. I was probably in water to swim in. I probably couldn't stand, but I didn't need to go out there to drown. I figured I could drown right where I am. And so I was in, and you can hear him yelling to me, "Come on, it's nice out here. Come on, it's nice out here." I don't know if I went or if I didn't go, but if you are in a little bit deeper, you can say to those that are in a little shallower, "Come on, it's nice out here." It really is. Oh, it's good when it's at the knees, and it's nice when it's up to your waist. But come on. Come on already. It's nicer out here, where you get to the place where the waters overtake you and they carry you. But, you know, the thing that I really wanted to say when I got up wasn't that. But that's where it begins. It has to start there. It has to start from heaven or under the altar. It has to flow from God to you. And so if you can make room in your life for more of God, that would, I guess, mean there'd have to be less of you. But that's okay. It's really better that there's less of you. And really, whatever places that we serve, whether it's behind the pulpit or whether it's counseling or in the kitchen or wherever we find ourselves, the better idea is less of you. Wherever we are, and more of him. I have to decrease, John said, and he has to increase, because what the world needs isn't me or you. I mean, I know they need you because you're you, and we like you, and so we need you, but not really. The world doesn't need us. The world needs Christ in you. He needs to fill you with himself, so that you can bring to the world Christ. And the world's coming up here. Oh, not necessarily all the bad and rotten and terrible, but kids are coming. And others are coming. People are coming. And we have work to do. You have work to do here at camp. And part of the job that we have is to let the glory of God fill us. And then all of a sudden, the temple's filled. But now it starts to flow out the doors. Open the doors of the temple. Let it go. I mean, Jesus put it to us in easier language. This makes it more complicated. Jesus said, "Out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." But just like in your head, nothing in, nothing out. So with your soul in the glory of God, if there's nothing in there, what's going to flow? "Out of my innermost being shall flow trickles of living water." Well, that's better than nothing. But more. More. And in order for more to flow, more has to get in. And so let the temple be filled with his glory. Let the body of your temple be filled with his glory. And then it says that the water began to flow, and if I could find it quickly enough, let's see, he took me, seventh verse, "When I arrived to the bank of the river, I saw a great number of trees on each side. And he said to me, 'The water, it's going to the eastern region, down to Araba, where it enters. The water that's flowing from the temple is now going to enter the,'" it says in the NIV, "the sea," S-E-A. If you got a margin, it'll probably say Dead Sea. You know what's in the Dead Sea?
Salt.
A lot of salt. You know what else is in the Dead Sea? Nothing much. Somebody just showed me, I don't know who it was, not at camp before I got to camp, but somebody was showing me, it was a little home video somebody had. They were at the Dead Sea, and they showed me, anybody ever been there? You have been, okay. They showed me, they were picking up, and it looked like sand, but it wasn't sand, it was salt. And as everybody here knows, the content of the Dead Sea, it's really salty, and nothing really lives in the Dead Sea because of the salt content. And in here, though, it says, and this is just the picture, you go to the Dead Sea today and you won't find fish swimming around. But it says here that it emptied out, did the glory of God, or the river that was flowing, it had emptied into the the Dead Sea, and the water there became fresh. Ooh. Now somebody should say hallelujah. Oh, okay, don't say hallelujah. Oh, no, you can say hallelujah. Because that's something to hallelujah about. That's a thank you, Lord. How did that happen? How did that happen? How could the water flow into the dead and the Dead Sea becomes fresh water? That don't happen. You're not going to change the content of Rockaway, the water in Rockaway Beach or Coney Island or any other salt body of water. Not, oh, but God can. Well, what's it saying? What's this mean? Well, it's easy. It's easy to figure out what it means. When the Spirit of God, the glory of God, flows from the temple of God, it flows out into wherever it goes, but wherever it goes, that which is dead doesn't stay dead. Almost by definition, it can't stay dead because it comes in contact with life. It comes in contact with the life of God. And so it goes on to say it went into where there were dead fish. Dead fish swim sideways, at least the ones that I've seen. And they swim out on the top. And all of a sudden that guy went, whoa, whoa, whoa. And he began to straighten out and go his merry way. Because the life that was in the glory of God flowed into the Dead Sea, and that which was dead wasn't dead anymore. And it says it went back into the marshes, into the swamp, into the places that are filled with death and filled with no outlets. But the glory of God reached those places, and every place that the river went and flowed became alive. And all around the sides of that river, there were fruit trees that were growing and leaves that were growing on them. And everything was alive, alive, alive. Because the resurrection life of Jesus Christ not only invigorates and makes us alive, but it makes that which we flow to alive also. And so I would pray that the problem, well, the situation that was here first, second, and third period, oh Lord, let it continue. Oh, Lord, let not stop now. But to that end, Lord, fill us. Fill us with your glory. So that when we go to the various places in camp where we will gather to worship, so where we find ourselves throughout the day, Lord, so those places, because we're filled with the glory of God, the meeting house and the cottage, the village, the lodge, Lord, we're filled with the glory of God, and the river's going to flow. And the river's going to flow from her and him and everybody here. And the river's going to flow in every place that the river flows, there's going to be life. And that's your faith. That's our faith. I don't know the names of the kids that are coming off the bus or in the cars. I don't know who's going to be at camp next week. I don't know every staff member that's here or coming. I don't know the guests. I see some names, and I don't know who's coming the second week. And I don't know who will be at camp, but our faith is that whoever they are and wherever they're from, the river's going to flow and it's going to reach them. And before they go home, they're going to be touched by the glory of God. They're going to have an encounter with Jesus Christ. And if they came floating sideways, they're going to go home not floating sideways, but swimming. And they're going to take the glory of God with them back to wherever it is that they go. Until the whole earth is filled with his glory, like the waters cover the sea. Now, that's not going to happen because I say so or we pray about it. It's going to happen because you and I have done business with God and opened up our souls wide and have been filled and are being filled with the glory of God. And it not only goes in, but it goes out. And as Paul writes, I'm not here anymore. I'm crucified with Christ, but I'm still alive, but I'm not really much alive. I mean, the life that I live, I live it in the glory. Yes, the songwriter says it's in our white book, we won't sing it, but it's, yes, I'm living in the glory, as he's promised in his word. I am dwelling in the heavenlies. I'm living in the glory of the Lord. So Lord, do that for us. Do that for the staff, all of them. Do that for the guests. Do it for all of us. Jesus, we thank you, Lord. It's nice to be knee-deep. It's nice to play around and splash in the water. We get a blessing. We like the blessing. We enjoy the blessing. So we're going to come back again for another blessing. And Lord, we got to get somewhere or other in our heads that we are not just called to get a blessing, we're called to be a blessing. We're called to, out of our lives, Jesus shine. We're called to be filled with the glory of God and then let it flow out of our innermost being to others. Whoever they are, wherever they are, boys, girls, young or old, whatever, Lord, we pray that you will use us for your glory. And so to that end, Lord, we want to come out where it's a little deeper. We want to come out into what you have in store for us. Lord, this isn't just for preachers. It's not just for deacons. It's not just for adults. Lord, anybody thirsty? Let him come. Is anybody thirsty? Let him come and take the free gift of the water of life. Let him drink and drink and drink. And so, Lord, help us to drink and drink until we're so filled that it spills over to others. And that your name, the only one that we're caring about, Lord, your name be glorified. And so have your way and make us to be those conduits, those channels, Lord, through which you can flow. In Jesus' name we pray.